I reached my hands down to my foot and felt the bandage before I stood up and limped outside, where some soldiers and the sergeant were sitting. "Where is my weapon?" I asked them. The sergeant handed me the G3 that was on top of the mortar, and I began cleaning it. I shot a couple of rounds sitting against the wall, ignoring the bandage on my foot and everyone else. I smoked marijuana, ate and snorted cocaine and brown brown. That was all I did for 3 days before we left for the new base we had captured. When we left, we threw kerosene on the thatch-roofed houses, lit them with matches, and fired a couple of RPGs into the walls. We always destroyed the bases we abandoned so that other squads wouldn't be able to use them. Two soldiers carried me in a hammock, but this time I had my gun and I looked left and right as we traveled the forest path. At the new base, I stayed put for 3 weeks and appointed Elijah to be in charge of my expedition squad. I busied myself with drugs and cleaning my gun. The sergeant doctor cleaned my wounds and would always say, "You are lucky." At that time, I didn't think I was lucky. I thought I was brave and knew how to fight. Little did I know that surviving the war that I was in, or any other kind of war, was not a matter of feeling trained or brave. These were just things that made me feel I was immune from death. At the end of the 3 weeks, we had the first batch of attackers. The lieutenant knew they were coming. I tightened the bandage around my foot, picked up my gun, and followed my squad to ambush the attackers before they got anywhere near our village. We killed most of them and captured a few whom we brought back to base. "These are the men responsible for the bullet holes in your foot. It's time to make sure they never shoot at you or your comrades," the lieutenant pointed at the prisoners. I am not sure if one of the captives was the shooter, but any captive would do at that time. So they were all lined up, six of them, with their hands tied. I shot them on their feet and watched them suffer for an entire day before finally shooting them in the head so that they would stop crying. Before I shot each man, I looked at him and saw how his eyes gave up hope and steadied before I pulled the trigger. I found their somber eyes irritating. When I finished telling Esther the story, she had tears in her eyes and she couldn't decide whether to rub my head or hug me. In the end, she did neither, but said, "None of what happened was your fault. You were just a little boy, and anytime you want to tell me anything, I am here to listen." She stared at me, trying to catch my eyes so she could assure me of what she had just said. I became angry and regretted that I had told someone, a civilian, about my experience. I hated the "it's not your fault" line that all of the staff members said every time anyone spoke about the war. I got up, and as I started walking out of the hospital, Esther began to speak. "I will arrange for a full checkup at the Connaught Hospital." She paused and then continued. "Let me keep the Walkman. You don't want the others to envy you and steal it. I will be here every day, so you can come and listen to it anytime." I threw the Walkman at her and left, putting my fingers in my ears so I couldn't hear her say, "It's not your fault." That night, as I sat on the veranda listening to some of the boys discuss the volleyball game I had missed, I tried to think about my childhood days, but it was impossible as I began getting flashbacks of the first time I slit a man's throat. The scene kept surfacing in my memory like lightning on a dark rainy night, and each time it happened, I heard a sharp cry in my head that made my spine hurt. I went inside and sat on my bed facing the wall and tried to stop thinking, but I had a severe migraine that night. I rolled my head on the cold cement floor, but it didn't stop. I went to the shower room and put my head under the cold water, but that didn't help either. The headache became so severe that I couldn't walk. I began to cry out loud. The night nurse was called. She gave me some sleeping tablets, but I still couldn't fall asleep, even after my migraine stopped. I couldn't face the nightmares I knew would come.